Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.
Welcome back to the Dog Pod, your home for the reigning Pac-12 champions into perpetuity, Sugar Bowl champion, still the number two team in all the land last time I checked, and Jed, we trust, Washington Huskies tackle football team. Hey, last time we talked, it was a therapy session, man. How did we go from down seven with the ball in the fourth quarter of the national championship game to a head coachless entity, but no more, 2 days later, with vetting complete? Man, the looks, this may have, vetting may have started around Thanksgiving when AD Troy Dannon admitted he knew we may be needing a new coach when his current coach wouldn't accept a doubling of his salary. Usually that's a bad sign if your employee says, hey, how about a double your pay? And they go, eh, maybe. Let me think about
I'll think
it
about
a little
it.
Bit. I'll think about that. So Jed Fish and the Fish family packed their bags on a direct flight from Tucson and is announced as the head coach of your Washington Huskies. I'm with Law Dog Mitch on unpaid leave. We're going to get into the hire. We're going to go deep into Jed Fish and his background. We're going to talk about the coaching staff, and we're going to talk about the roster, who's gone, who's in the transfer portal, and what do we have to be worried about next year in the roster, what that Mitch. Roster might look like in 2024. Yeah, that's going to, not going to be pretty. Ooh, okay. Law Dog, let's get into it. Talk to me about Coach Jed Fish.
Yeah, so, I mean, I kind of went back and listened to our prior episode. We did kind of nail this. We called, hey, Jed Fish needs to be, you know, one of your phone calls, and he's done a great job at Arizona. And, lo and behold, I think you may be right. Dannon was probably, putting out some feelers, if not scouting, at least getting some Thank due you. Diligence on some of those guys, right, going into this, because we knew DeBoer. The DeBoer extension watch was lingering, and it just wasn't coming to a conclusion. So, you know, with that all aside, I think they made a strong hire here. I think Jed Fish is a – let's just start with the Arizona team that he took over. So this 2020 Wildcats team, they were 0-5. In conference games, and they were, I mean, it was the shortened COVID season. They were 0-5. This is the team that lost to ASU 70-7. They lost to the Colorado Buffaloes coached by Carl Durrell. And yes, they got creamed in Husky Stadium by Jimmy Lake.
That's right.
So this was a bad team. And we've talked to some Arizona fans who said the next year, 2021, Fish's first year, they might've even been worse. Hardly competitive. They beat a really ragged Cal team that was decimated by COVID that season for their only win. But then they go from that to 5-7 in year two, and they were competitive in a lot more games than that. And then this year, of course, reaching 10-3, and everyone's talking about within the 19 points or whatever of being undefeated. They were in close games this season, even in the ones they lost, but really impressive. It was us. Yeah. Yeah. We beat them by a touchdown. And of course that was the onside kick at the end. Right. I think the turnaround that he did there is pretty impressive. And I think that that's one of the reasons why, you know, he was probably on the radar, Troy Dannon and company. Right. But Fish, to go back, just to explain to the listeners, I guess, some of his background, he started out as an offensive assistant under Rick Neuheisel, actually, in Baltimore, and Brian Billick. He was there for four seasons, and Billick was the one who got fired from Baltimore in 2007. So Fish was out there looking for work, went to the Broncos to work for Mike Shanahan the next season, and that's the season that Shanahan got fired. So he was bouncing around a little bit. He ended up at the University of Minnesota in 2009. Then he understandably takes a job in the NFL with the Seahawks and Pete Carroll first season in 2010, right? This is the one that's a little bit of a head scratcher. I mean, here's the quarterback's coach in the NFL. He'd been an NFL guy for five out of his, or six out of his first 7 years of coaching, but then he decides to take a job as offensive coordinator at the U Miami under Al Golden when Miami was on probation. He was there for a couple of years. I mean, they were on probation, so they weren't, lighting it up or anything. But then he gets a job as the offensive coordinator at Jacksonville, and he was on a really bad Jags team. Blake Bortles' rookie season was Jed Fish's final season. Sacked 55 times season.
That's not what you want.
And they went, I think, 5-11, and Fish actually got fired. So this was the one time that he was fired in that situation. And Gus Bradley, the Jags coach, was fired the next season. So, you know, a lot of turnover going on in Jacksonville. I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it. It was probably not his best work. But then he goes to work for Jim Harbaugh, and he's there for two seasons doing QB coach. And, you know, that's a 10-3 Michigan team, back-to-back seasons, 2015, 2016. Uh-huh. Then he goes to be the OC at UCLA. Josh Rosen, the quarterback there, and Jim Mora gets fired with two games left in the season, and Fish is given the interim coach. Yeah. So he goes 1-1. And I think they beat Cal, but then they lost their bowl game. And then, you know, Fish is out of a job again, not necessarily fault of his own. I mean, Josh Rosen, you know, performed very well that season. Then he catches on with the Rams, where he's coaching under Sean McVay. He's there for 2 years. And then he goes to in 2020 to be quarterback's coach for Belichick. And then a month later, 2 months later, Tom Brady announces he's retiring.
Oh, yeah.
So he does work at the Patriots there for a year, and then he's picked up by Arizona, where he's been for the last three seasons. So, you know, I think you look at his resume and you go, man, he's bounced around a lot. Once you kind of go through it a little bit, it doesn't seem quite as bad, I think. You know, I don't think we're going to expect him to be around for 15 years.
Oh yeah.
but I don't necessarily think he's just looking over his shoulder. He was caught in some bad situations, but he coached with some really excellent coaches: McVay, Belichick, Mike Shanahan, Pete Carroll. You know, he was Jim Harbaugh, like all of the heavyweights in the modern, you know, last two decades of coaching. He's basically coached with all of those guys.
Yep.
So I think that's a track record that attracted Arizona to him. And then I think what he was able to do at Arizona, especially this season, you know, was what attracted Troy Dan in Washington.
So I'm curious of what you think about his comments that were real polarizing. Some people loved it. Like, I love the honesty. And some were like, oh, he's not going to stay long. And asked the direct question of, you know, is this a final destination for you? Is this a destination job? What do you think about his answers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he actually prefaced it, right? The quote that went made in the paper, but he prefaced the answer by saying, you know, it doesn't really matter what I say, right? It's like, if I say one thing, I'm a hero, but I'm a liar. And if I don't say it, I'm evading the question, you know? So, you know, I kind of sympathize with him, especially with where this fan base is. I mean, you know, what was it? Five, six seasons ago, Chris Peterson is the head coach, right?
Yeah.
And here we are. And that was what, end of 2019 was Peterson's last season. Wow. So literally 5 full years ago, you know, we're on our fourth head coach in that time. So there's been a lot of turnover, you know, at Washington. And some of that you did to yourself, right? Some of that you hired Jimmy Lake and it didn't work out and you had to make a change. But I don't know what he's supposed to say there, right? I mean, I think you can, because I just went through that resume. He's obviously going to, if he gets a better opportunity somewhere else, he's going to take it. I think Troy Dannon's comments about that, he jumped in right after that and said, it's my job to make this an attractive destination and the best place to coach football. And frankly, if this program can stay rolling, right? And we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, totally.
But if we could keep it rolling, then this becomes a great job. It's going to be in the Big Ten. You're probably in the upper half of the Big Ten, right? So, you know, I think there's probably 5 or 6 programs that are probably clearly better jobs, but you're right there with, you know, the Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State, like that category of, you know, you don't see tons of coaches leave top 20, top 15, top 20 jobs all the time. DeBoer happened to leave for, you know, one of those true blue bloods, which was Alabama. And then Sark did the same thing again, another true blue blood SC. And he had grown up in LA. It was his dream job. So, you know, I don't think Jed Fish is like looking over his shoulder the whole time. He signed a 7-year contract. He's got a large buyout, at least at the start. So, you know, but I think he will see the end of that 7-year contract? It's tough to predict right now. Right now, I'd have to say probably not.
Yeah. And do you have one last question? Do you have any hesitations at all? You know what the other options were.
Well, if I'm Dannon, you know, I think what my goal here is my goal is to have winning season upon winning season, right? A track record and a string and a consistency and a history of success. And, you know, if Jed Fish gives you four or five good seasons, you know, and moves on to something else, like, that's fine. That's the business that college football is. That's just what the nature of the business right now. You know, there's not really a long-term commitment to anyone. The fact, you know, that we're talking about finding, you know, the next Don James and all that. I mean, that's 30 years ago, man. I mean, the college football universe has changed quite a lot. And so I don't think he was in a position to go out and find an elite coach who happens to have a lot of ties to the University of Washington or Seattle, who happens to, you know, want to be here and have this be his dream job. Does that person exist? You know? So I don't know. I think Dannon's correct. The goal should be, let's keep making this job an attractive job. It's a place where he can recruit to. It's a place where he can succeed. There's a lot of fan support. There's a lot of community support. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of institutional support. And if he gets those things, there's not going to be very many places that he wants to go to, I think. Mm-hmm. There may be some, and the NFL may be one of those. I mean, that's something you can't control, right? So, I mean, I think this is the right type of decision. And I think time will tell if Fish ends up being, you know, an elite coach at Washington. But if he does a good job, he wins, you know, and we're not even in the conference anymore. So I don't know. Are we expecting to win the Big Ten in the coming years? You know, I think if he does that, that'll be pretty damn impressive.
I'm going to ask you that again when I finish my roster update and see if you have it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think of all the coaches that I was hearing about, he was the one I was most excited about. Now, And I think the best fit. Many of the names that you were hearing about were non-possibilities. We're like, Coach Pete doesn't want to come back and coach again. Pete Carroll isn't going to take a pay cut and probably was too old. He wasn't going to come back and do a HC job. Like, these things were just silly. And I actually think the same thing about Coach Grubb and Coach Shep. Part of me was like, I would have liked to have seen. But it was a non-possibility. We had gone down this route before. And through no fault of their own,
a few times,
there's no way we were going to go down this route again. As much as I think, boy, talk about two, what I think, incredible football minds and leaders of young men who are very revered by their players. But it didn't, I don't think it mattered. I don't think there was an assistant. You couldn't hire an assistant.
Well, I think one, the job is too big for that. I mean, we're going to the Big Ten. This is a top, we want to, you know, I think our university and our athletic department want this to be a top 15 type of job, mm-hmm. right? So top 15 programs do not promote from within unless you have a longtime assistant who's almost like the right-hand man or the Svengali of the Hall of Fame coach. And Jim Lambright, you know, is a good example of that, right? Been at the side of Don James, been connected to the program for decades, right? It made sense to elevate him at that time, you know, because we knew he bled purple and gold. We knew that what he could do and what he was capable of. And so those things, I think, are rare situations. You know, you've seen it work out at other programs. I mean, Ryan Day at Ohio State comes to mind, right? Where uh-huh. that's working out sure. well on an internal promotion. But there's a lot of them that, you know, that can backfire. And Washington's, you know, had a couple of their own, really. Keith Gilbertson was not a successful head coach here. Jimmy Lake was not a successful head coach. And those guys both had very short leashes because they had been promoted, you know, from that role. And so, you know, you give Grubb the keys and, you know, he'd been with DeBoer for a long time, but hadn't been at Washington for a long time. I just don't know that mm-hmm. he had earned that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it. Maybe he hadn't. I'm really curious to see how well he does and when he does get that shot, how he and Shep both get that shot, like how well they do. But I'm excited about this hire. And, you know, I think it's tough if you want these coaches to feel the same way about Washington as we do as fans and as the players do. And sometimes I think you hear about them and go Dogs and they're always in purple and gold and they're the face of the program that you start to think that they do. And every now and then you get players who, you know, again, like a Lambright played at Washington and was that guy. Gilby, I think, played at Hawaii and Idaho, I want to say, but he became that guy. I think Coach Pete became that guy. I think he did over the years.
Well, I mean, like I talked about, he was at the game wearing purple, right? Yeah. I mean, he worked for Fox.
Yeah, that's right. he became that guy. And that's what you want. And sometimes you and myself, I'll admit, dupe myself into believing that's kind of where we are. Now, Fish comes in with some advantages. One, you know, you don't have a stadium issue. The stadium is has everything you want it to be, modern, et cetera. You don't have any of those problems. Your NIL is set up in a way that isn't leading tier, but is very strong and was able to make the moves last year. And for a winning team, the donors will come forward. And Montlake Futures in particular, I know there's other smaller organizations, it does a very good job and I think is run very well operationally. You've got that going for you. You have a recent history of success that you were just in the playoffs. You won 10 games the year before. Like, you are a very incredibly strong team that has had national recognition that a lot of the upcoming high school recruits are like, oh yeah, I remember watching you guys in the championship. I remember watching you guys beat Texas. I remember watching you guys beat Oregon. He's got these advantages that are there, but yep. He doesn't have all the advantages. Like, we've got some headwinds coming up. Talk to me a little bit about the finances and some issues that we've got coming up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it was a little eye-popping to me to see the dollar figure attached to this contract. But, I mean, I think Dannon was, you know, had to circle the wagons and say, okay, this is what it's going to take to pay DeBoer. This is what I can afford, right? And so the deal ends up being just over $54 million over 7 years. That's a huge contract for this university. I mean, it, mm-hmm. you know, and DeBoer was probably making close to five this year with all his incentives and everything like that. And then there's the big assistant pool. So, I mean, this is a pretty big step up. So, but importantly, you know, you'll start to see why I think Cause in particular, you know, felt like the Big Ten was the necessary move at this point, because the debt service on Husky Stadium is currently $10 million a year, just under $10 million a year in interest only. Yeah. That's going to go up to nearly $18 million per year starting in 2026. And I mean, if Upper Campus is asking me, I will tell them, look, I look at that as Husky Stadium is the single best marketing device you have for your university, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the football program. So I would kick in a little bit from Upper Campus to help finance some of that debt personally. Mm-hmm. And they've got a huge endowment, and whether they choose to do that or not, I mean, there's been speculation about why Jen Cohen, you know, left for USC. And there's a lot of people out there who think she was tired of having to, you know, pinch pennies with Upper Campus and deal with all the financial issues. And she just wanted to go somewhere where the money was flowing freely. Right. But the department, you know, was in a deficit of, it's around $6 to $8 million over the last couple of years per season. So that's not huge. I mean, UCLA and Cal, John Wilner wrote about this today, UCLA and Cal both running deficits over $30 million. And now UCLA is going to the Big Ten at a full share, but they're going to have to pay that Berkeley tax, and Berkeley's taking a huge reduction from the ACC. So, I mean, those deficits are going to continue there. And then I think, you know, UW's probably looking at an extra $8 to $10 million per season in the Big Ten media rights, based on what their distributions were from the Pac-12. They're going up to 30. And then it's going to go up a little bit from there over the next 6 years. Plus, they can borrow up to $10 million a season out of future returns. Mm-hmm. And I've been told that they are planning on doing that to bolster the budget in the short term. So I think if you add all of that up, plus we also don't know necessarily how the Big Ten distributes, you know, all the bowl game revenue. And I just will plead ignorance. I don't know exactly how they're doing that. The NCAA tournament revenue, playoff revenue, all that stuff. Yep. But Washington's believed to be getting a full share of those other revenue streams, just not the media rights. That could be another few million. So I, back of the envelope math, I would call it maybe like $25 million per season that's going to go into this budget that wasn't there before. And it was a $145 million budget, or in revenues, I should say, with that $6 million deficit. So, I mean, this is why they're making this move, right? Is that they're offsetting those deficits and trying to get with the big boys. But I mean, even at $170 million or so, they might pass a few ACC schools, but they're probably going to be around, you know, in the top 20 or so of public schools, which is up from where they were about 25th over the last couple of years. So, plus you got a $12 million check from Alabama. So I think, you know, they're trying to take those investments and put it into the football program and trying to keep that train rolling. And that's what this contract for Fish, you know, is going to be about. But that doesn't, you know, we haven't talked about, okay, you got travel costs and stuff like that that are going to go into the Big Ten. Yep. Aren't you going to increase the budget for your men's basketball program to pay, you know, pay for facilities for your, you know, women's softball, you know, to compete at, you know, higher levels and whatnot. So, you know, I think the money doesn't go as far as, you know, you might think.
Wild. Okay. So he's got some stuff to face, you know, as he comes in. Now, should we get into one? The most important thing we already talked about, starts and stops with the players on the field. Do we get into the roster?
Yeah. Well, it's been a rocky couple days, BT. Break it down.
There we go. So I'll just say buckle up. And if you're driving, please pull to the side of the road. Every single offensive starter and our two backups who led in snaps are either declared for the NFL, graduated in the transfer portal. On defense, that number isn't quite as bleak. It's a solid two. So we have two starters coming back, but let's get into where we are. And then I'm going to talk about some of the reasons why we're here. Let's start at the quarterback. So Jimmy Doherty, his group. Mike Penix graduated onto the NFL. Legend. Husky legend. I will be a fan of whatever NFL team he goes to. I am so excited. That guy, my goodness. Don't even bring your wallet when you land at SeaTac. You're not buying anything, buddy. Mike Penix. Dylan Morris transferred to James Madison before the playoffs even started, so he's gone. Will Roger, the big transfer portal get from Ole Miss, in the transfer portal already, immediately, though he was in the locker room to meet Jed Fish. I believe that he's still in the Seattle area, and keep in mind that he has a wife to think about and maybe is getting settled down here, but this is, you know, look, right now in the transfer portal, Will Haskell. Will Haskell was the SDSU transfer. He was one of the biggest recruiting wins for San Diego State, but pretty quiet since transferring into UW, also in the transfer portal. Alex Johnson, the backup, also in the transfer portal. Remember, we also lost EJ Kamenog out of Garfield, now committed to Cal. Where does that leave us? Demaricus Davis, the freshman from Rancho Cucamonga. Like, that's your starter if tomorrow. He's not officially in the transfer portal. He hasn't asked to be out of his national letter of intent, but we'll get into some things that might make him. You know, and there's some other names that are, you know, the room isn't empty. You've got Teddy Purcell, he's a junior on the roster, Camden Stiegler, the sophomore, all really well-liked, but have not seen the field, just part of the room, right? We do have a 2025 signee, Jackson Collick from Laguna Beach, but as of today, the potential starter again, Demaricus Davis. Now, here's what it comes down to, I think, about this. Do we convince Will Rogers to stay? Okay. And can we? Or so does breakout star sophomore Noah Fifita follow his quarterback's coach and Fish to UW? Rumors are stating Ohio State has offered Fifita an NIL deal of $1 million.
Whoa.
You saw what their quarterback play looked like in the bowl game, right? And our old buddy, our old South Dakota recruit. Fair to say, look, if you sign Fifita, Demaricus Davis, and others are thinking about, well, hold on, this guy's got three more years, and he's only 6 foot. He's not 6'6". This guy's not going to the NFL for a bit. Do I rethink if Fifita's going to be here for 3 years, what I'm doing? Where, you know, with Will Rogers, you don't have that problem. The other Arizona quarterback, Demon Williams, he entered the transfer portal as well. Four-star recruit in the 2024 class who just enrolled. Former Ole Miss commit. So
I think he's kind of the more likely one to come. Just because that makes sense. Like, Fish just recruited him. He's barely kind of been in Arizona, but we'll see.
You already have Demaricus Davis in this class, right? So that's the other one. Now, who is your starter next year? Is it one of those true freshmen? Who's your starter?
Well, can I just jump in there too? I think we've got another portal window in the spring for sure. Mm-hmm. And we know that, you know, there's going to be a lot of movement, right, guys? Now, it's not as attractive maybe because it's guys who are knowing they're not going to be starting for their teams in the spring or whatnot, but at the very least, some who may want to check out their options or whatever. I think there's going to be some opportunities there.
We need a starter and you have to fill up the room. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I think, look, right now the ball is,
I think that person's not on the roster currently, BT.
It could be. You're right. I think, look, it depends. Does money start flowing Will Rogers' way? Is he wanted at Alabama? Which we're going to keep hearing that name.
I don't see how they could do that, right? I mean, he was tearing up the league for Mississippi State, but that one's going to not go over well with the Alabama fans.
I don't think it's going to go well with Will Rogers either, who wants a place where he is the starter.
Yeah.
He wants to be the man. Okay. So we'll see. That's an issue. Okay. Running back. Richard Newton, dog for freaking life, man. Graduates.
Right.
What a stud. And he had his highlight reel, his like 20 play best play highlight reel is just a thing of beauty. Dylan Johnson, what a warrior, man. Battling through all those injuries. He declares for the NFL draft. So he's gone. Now let's look at Scotty Graham's group. Who's this leaving? Cam Davis, the senior with 2 years left. Can he get back to his 2022 dominance? That's the question. Because boy, he looked good then. Okay. Daniel Nagata. So Daniel Nagata, the senior from ASU. Rarely ever used outside of special teams, has a year left, and he's not on the transfer portal. I have not quite figured out. I always thought he flashed brilliance at ASU. Hasn't someone we've really used. Will Nixon, the redshirt junior transfer from Nebraska, but we saw the delta between Nixon and Johnson when he was on the field. Sam Adams, the local redshirt junior, rarely used, and Tybo Rogers, the sophomore, vocal about staying. He's been vocal, on Twitter about staying. Now, so that's our stable, but who do we have our eyes on? And this is the one I probably get the most excited about. And I hate to say this, we're just pilfering, but Jonah Coleman, the 5'9" sophomore breakout for Arizona, 871 yards on the ground, 6.8 yards a clip, 25 receptions to go with 6 touchdowns and no fumbles. Jason Shear from Arizona Insider has a crystal ball for him for UW, but he's not committed. The running back coach is here, right? That makes you feel a little bit better. But, then I hate to say he commits. What does what's Cam Davis do? What do others do in that group? But he is someone I love the style play. Would love to see him in purple and gold.
Yeah, I'm surprised more of our running backs aren't already kind of exploring transfers at this point because it's already a little bit of a crowded room. But I think they all maybe look at it as like, hey, next year's my chance to start. So we'll probably see some movement out after the spring there, depending on what happens. And then with Coleman, we'll see. I mean, if he shows up, I think you could presume him to be the starter for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And depending, look, I don't know what Cam Davis's health is going to look like if he can get back to that form, but we all came into this year thinking he was going to be the guy until we saw what Johnson could do, right?
Yep.
The receivers, let's get into these. The big three. I mean, my goodness, just an all-time. You can't have a conversation about the best trio of wide receivers in college football in this decade without talking about Rome, JP, and J-Mac all declaring for the NFL draft. Okay. So what's Kevin Cummings have to work with? Transferred out. Tayshaun Lyons, the freshman, already committed to Utah. We knew he was gone. This one stung because, guy comes home to play, flashes absolute brilliance. He had moments where he looked like he, you could have called him the four horsemen with the four of them. He looked just incredible.
So another thing to keep in mind is just because guys are in doesn't mean they can't come back. And
that is correct.
I'm sure a lot of coaches out there, kind of turn a blind eye. Once you put your name in the portal, you're gone. However, in this situation, I think it makes some sense that, Bernard, some other guys would explore their options. But remember, he committed to Junior Adams and Jimmy Lake. And then showed up and then changed his mind when DeBoer was hired and then came back. So it's not like he had some, intense loyalty to DeBoer. I'm sure he's just exploring his options because, Fish likes to throw the ball. And he's going to be target number one next season. If he's
the biggest concern for me with Jeremy Bernard is either a big NIL check from another school that we can't match. And there are schools that would love to give him a deal representing their, myriad of car lots and car wash facilities or whatever the booster has in order to get him to play for him. And I won't blame him. And the other would be Shep ends up in Alabama and says, we need this guy, find a roster spot for him. And it's going to be hard for him to say no. Who does that leave? I really hope Germ gets back in the boat, but who does that leave? Giles Jackson, the senior, the Michigan transfer. Denzel Boston, the 6'4 sophomore. And then you've got some other names in there. Keith Reynolds, Jason Robinson, the freshman. We don't know much about. Justice Williams signed, hasn't withdrawn yet. So okay, those are ones to look at as well. But Giles Jackson, we've seen the most out of him. Again, Denzel Boston played some reps. Jeremiah Hunter, this one is an interesting one, right? He was a big get from that Cal team. He has not put his, he's not put his name in the transfer portal, withdrawn his commitment yet. But as of right now, you do have Hunter from Cal. Okay. Now, obviously the big name here is Teotihuah McMillan from Arizona. I mean, absolute stud.
Second team all conference, I believe.
I mean, unreal, unreal. Torch just for a great touchdown. Great player. He was at the Arizona basketball game tonight, with Fafita and others, even with Jonah Coleman. So, you know, waving to the crowd, standing ovation, everybody wants him to stay, and maybe he will. And maybe they'll find some NIL money or a reason that the three of those guys who, again, I listened to a podcast that the two of them did that was 2 days ago, and they were talking about, hey, man, we thought we're coming in as a top 10 team this year with sights on a CFP, and they should. They finished the year 11. They should have been thinking we can get into a 12-team playoff. So what happens with them? But he would have been good. So you got some holes to fill in wide receiver. Should we get into tight end?
Yeah.
Okay. Big tip of the cap again. Jack West over Devin Culp. Absolutely love these guys. I think that both of those guys are going to an NFL contract. You know, I don't know what round it's going to be or if it's, undrafted or whatever, but both of those guys, Devin Culp has the physical, he absolutely has the physical measurements to make it. Westover, he's got the tape between the two of them. I know those guys are going to go for it, and I wish them the best. Now, who's going to be left for our old friend Jordan Pau is backed. Our old tight ends coach, who's back, happy to be back in Seattle. Who's left? Quentin Moore, right? Who made that play in the Pac-12 championship, Richards senior. How about Josh Cuevas? Josh Cuevas is an interesting one. He came to play for DeBoer, but he flashed this year as well. Ryan Otten, I don't know if it was injury or what, but we didn't see much of him this year. And our 2024 signee, Decker DeGraff, 6'4 out of Cali, seems to be fully committed. So far, right? We thought we had Trey Watson out of Fresno State from the transfer portal, but nope. He was one of the first ones to go. He's already at A&M. And then I hate to say this, but both of the tight ends from Arizona put their name into the transfer portal. So you get Kean Burnett, just 3 receptions each year. But originally, this is kind of interesting, 6'5", originally an Oregon State commit. Dorian Thomas, was a beast at Kent Ridge. Does he want to come back? From Washington. Yeah, it's Kent Ridge kid. Does he want to come back? So you've got, that's where your tight end stable, obviously losing Westover and losing Culp. We knew that was going to be tough, but right now, not getting Trey Watson that was a nice pickup out of Fresno State. That would have been great. But obviously, he had some knowledge of DeBoer and at the end said, forget it. I'm going to go to A&M. And I'm sure he got himself a nice little check from what is the most wealthy NIL collective in all the land still.
All money.
So nice work. That's the tight end stable. And they're going to be used in the Jed Fish offense. So we got to get them. Okay,
that's a reason why the local recruiting can be important in this era, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have guys who have some ties to your community before they commit to you to play football, right? And here's maybe a kid from Washington State who went to Arizona who's like, hey, I get to follow my coach and go home. That's enticing for him. And a kid like Ryan Otten, right, who's not throwing his name in the portal because, he's from Tumwater and he's a local kid. So that's where it can really matter. And high school recruiting still matters.
It does. And it's going to be interesting to see. Sometimes there are kids who want to come home, and then sometimes there's kids that want to leave and say, I want to go live in Arizona and I'm never coming back to this place. It's going to be interesting to see where these guys end up. Both look the part, great tape, are going to get offers. Okay. Big deep breath. Offensive line. Ooh. Here we go. Oh boy. Here we go. Coach Pete Carroll, his son, Brennan, he's got a job in front of him. Troy Fautan and Roger Rosengarten, absolute dogs off to the NFL. I cannot wait to see what those guys do. And obviously, Fautan is going to go much higher than Rosengarten. But Fautan, I think, can be a real player in the NFL. And I'm going to be a fan. Here's where we go. Starters, Nate Kolepo, Julius Bulldog, Parker Brailsford, all in the portal. Parker already taking a visit to Alabama. So, you know, the go away, I promise I won't talk about it too much, but, you know, the parting speech from our former coach was talking about how I hope all of you guys finish your careers at Washington. Well, everybody except for Brailsford and a few others who are already taking
visits to Alabama. I've been invited.
That's fun. That's a good time. Buello's reply, I saw in one of his replies to someone who was saying, hey, what the hell, man? He said, look, hey, I did my 5 years at UW. That told me all I need to say. Like, Buello's saying, look, dude, I did my 5 years at UW. I did my time, right? Not to say we couldn't get it back. Not to say we couldn't find a way, but yeeks.
And Buello's a guy who was, like, starter, then he was passed over, and then he had to win it back and all that. I mean, you know, whatever. The kid put in 5 years. Who could blame him? I would have loved
for him to come back and be one of the rocks of this line this year, but it doesn't look like it will be. That one is tough. Both Garen Hatchett and Landon Hatchett. Landon Hatchett as of 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, that one hurts a lot more.
Yeah. Of local guys played sparingly in the portal. And I think this one could be one of the I'm testing the water type things. It'll be interesting to see.
Those guys have local ties.
They do.
Ferndale is filled with huge dog fans. Those guys grew up dog fans, I guarantee it.
Yeah, and they may be testing the waters and could come back. Let's see. But, you know, both brothers putting their names in the portal. That leaves guard Memelar, who I think we had high aspirations for but had some injuries this year, and Sam Peacock, who played a little bit. Sam got out in the boat a few years, I think 2 years ago, and great guy. But we'll see. That's who you got left. The transfers. This one, Drew, as a party from San Diego State, we got to keep that guy. I mean, wow. Wow, wow, wow. That could be a big get. And a stable of guys you just don't know enough about. Robert Wirsch, Jalen Clem, Zach Henning, Kalen Tafai, Elijah Jackson, Sano Fasolo. We just don't know enough. We don't know enough, right? And can one of these guys step up? And, of course, the big question, can we hold Pocky Finau? Ooh, I hope. And he's saying things right now, but I hope we hold him.
I mean, the other thing is 10 bodies isn't enough.
No.
Offensive line. Not at all. I mean, you need 15, like bare minimum on your roster. So we're going to definitely see some additions, you know, and it might be a little bit rocky next year, going from the Joe Moore Award to to a lot of unknowns on the offensive line.
I hope Brandon Carroll calls dad and pulls some strings. Because this may be one where you want to use dad's card here. The biggest one, I just feel so dirty even saying this, but the biggest win physically and would be a massive get. Arizona's 4-star freshman offensive lineman, Raymond Pulido, what a stud is in the transfer portal.
And all the offensive coaches are coming with fish.
Like, and are coming up with fish.
Down.
I know.
Up and down. So if those guys are going in the portal, that's probably because they're intending to follow if they're being, you know, courted. And once they go in, they can be courted. So I mean, obviously we're not naive. There's been conversations, right?
It doesn't it doesn't feel good to just run down the list and list a bunch of Arizona guys in the transfer portal. But as you can see, it's going the other way as well.
Yeah.
And I am sure that anyone on the San Jose State roster who is Big 12 ready is going to be in Tucson next year too. This is how this thing goes. Big bank tank, little bank, right? This is how it goes. So, look, in sum, the offense is left with zero returning starters. On the two deeps, you have a few, and maybe you can point to Giles Jackson as the returner with the most experience. Before we get into defense, I'm talking about some of the rationale. Everyone is saying, like, why? Why is this happening? Okay, and you got a couple reasons. One, obviously, there's this big coaching change. The team knew that they're going to be struggling a bit. A lot of people stayed last year because they knew this amazing run was going to happen. No one was going into the portal. The entire team knew that they were going into a season in which they could compete for a national championship, and they did. Two, NIL. People are figuring out, can I get some money? Can I get some cash? And from what I'm hearing, it is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that you can get. You know, you're as we talked about, you know, who knows if that rumor is true, but you can, you know, Fafita can get $1 million from, starting quarterback from Ohio State. But even as a starting offensive lineman, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars out there for you. And that is life changing. I don't blame you. And the second
Matt Rhule at Nebraska, the coach, came out and said it costs $1 million to $1.5 million to get a quarterback in the portal. I mean, he came out and just said it.
Yeah, so that's true. That's the price. So. It's fair. And we may not be able to compete with some of those guys. And frankly, there are probably some of those guys who Fish goes, I don't really, if you want to go, go. I don't care what was offered to you. I'm not paying. I'm going to direct my NIL team not to pay that. And we got to figure it out. The last thing is they're historically in the transfer portal era. And that's all the way through from Coach Peterson, Coach Lake continued and on, and Coach DeBoer continued on, was a don't go into the portal. You're a Husky. Don't go in. And Fish has come in and said, look, hey, I understand you're going to take a look. And maybe that's the right approach. Maybe it's not. But this is why I think you see a lot of people who are out there testing the waters. I want to get that out. So, again, all of them can come back. All of them can come back. All of them will not come back. But let's hope that many of them do find their way back into Husky Stadium. Should we talk about the defense?
Oof.
Here we go. Let's talk about the back and move our ways forward. So, Dom Hampton, the Hammer, graduated. Get your NFL look, my brother, and do your best with it, Dom. I mean, what a Husky season, a career that that guy had. And, you know, was there great. Again, talk about a 20-play highlight reel. He's got one. Mish Palat in Miami, pulled over by our old buddy Will Harris. And I'm sure Mish got a check. Mish, don't spend it all in one place. I will have amazing memories of you coming in as a walk-on and becoming the man. The gun for hire, Jabbar Muhammad, right? I mean, he was our number one player in the secondary lockdown. I will have amazing memories of that guy. It's down to Texas, Oregon, and Alabama. And for the love of Christ, have you ever wanted somebody to be picked up by Texas or Alabama more?
Texas in this case.
Texas in this place. Please end up in Texas. But he is gone. Vincent Nunley, we knew he was 100%.
Well, and he's got a couple cousins who play for Texas, right?
That's right. His cousin plays for Texas.
Yeah. I would expect him to end up in Texas.
I really hope he does, but I also see Oregon rolling out that check.
Yeah.
And maybe that check is one that Alabama doesn't want to offer or Texas can't offer. Who knows? But that could be a reason he ends up in Eugene, and it will make me sick. Vincent Nunley, we knew he was 100% gone. This was, didn't matter if there was a coaching change or not, team issues. He couldn't figure it out, but he was incredibly talented when he was on the field the times we saw him. Asa Turner, you know, this is one I think he might be just taking a look, right? He gets one extra year because he only played in four games this year. He's in the portal. His ability to stay healthy will deter some for sure. But I would love to have him come back and get that one final season that he deserves. I'd love to see it. Who's left in John Richardson's group? Looks like Elijah Jackson, the only starter in the secondary, not in the portal. And like the king of the Sugar Bowl, the SWAT heard around the world, not there. Cam Fab, I mean, he's played a ton. Thad Dixon, the senior. Dyson McCutcheon was out of the portal and right back and right out of it. It is in the portal and right back into Husky Stadium. Then a list of others, Mikel Esteem, Devon Banks, prospects, Curly Reed, Diesel Gordon, list goes on. All these guys are still there. Let's talk about the recruits. Vincent Holmes, a four-star defensive back recruit in the 2023 class, in the portal too. The rest of the incoming class appears to want to stay. And, you know, again, here we go back to Arizona, but one of their biggest picks up, our cornerback, Ephesians Prisak, a former four-star recruit, is in the transfer portal. So that group is looking thin. It's looking pretty thin.
It was thin before.
It was thin before. Yeah.
But, you know, something else too is the guys who went to Tucson, right, they might not be that interested in coming to Seattle. Mm-hmm. You know, they may want to play for Fish or for their coach. But I think we have to, you know, keep in mind as well that for them, this is their maybe one opportunity to find another program, and maybe they want to be closer to home or, you know, whatever it is. Don't want to play in the rain. if you went to Tucson, you probably didn't think you were going to play in the rain.
There are 10 Arizona players in the transfer portal right now, and I'm going to put the number at 3 or fewer who end up here.
Yeah, it might be.
And that's okay. But I think that's what it ends up being. I think you're right. Linebackers. Eddie Ulofosio, off to the NFL. Maybe med school. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, man. What a captain. What a stud. What a dog. I don't ever want to see your wallet in Seattle. Eddie, legend. Raylan Goforth, man. Off to the NFL run, he was part of this 2023 and had a big impact, played key minutes this year, and he's going to give it a shot. you know, he wants to give it a shot at the NFL as well. So we'll see what Raylan does. You know, again, with that, his, I thought his, you know, his note out to both the USC and to the Washington communities was kind of what you want to see out of someone who's transferred and played, you know, 3 years, one place, 1 year in another. We already lost Ethan Barr, the Vanderbilt captain. I thought I was really excited about him. I hate to say it. And he's off to University of Central Florida. Here we go. Zedarius Rainey-Sell, the 2025 four-star from Bethel that we got on the day of the championship. And everyone was so excited. Oh, this is what it's going to get us, right? He decommits. Austin Harnato from prep, I want to say, heading to Nevada already. So he's already found his home. I do like, so the seniors. How about Alfonso Tupatala coming back? Carson Bruner, love that. Drew Fowler, he's going to play a lot more in his last year. And you got a host of others in the stable. Devin Bryant, Jordan Whitney, Braden Bruner. We just don't know enough about him. Kamori House's commitment seems to be solid. But again, I like that pair of Tupatala and Carson Bruner, assuming that they still come back. I like that pairing. Let's get into the edges.
Then again, are we playing a 4-2-5?
No. That's right. So,
I don't know. This is an early look at all this stuff. Well, there's going to be some more names that are going to come onto the scene here. So,
this is really a look, but hey, let's see what it is. The edges, tip of the cap to ZTF, Sakai and Braylon Trice. Braylon could be a first rounder. ZTF could be a late rounder, and Sakai, he might get an undrafted free agent look. They're all three of those are going to absolutely go for it this year in the NFL. And congratulations. We've lost a lot here, man. BJ Green from ASU was a nice pickup. He's not on the roster, but he hasn't made an announcement yet. I don't know unless he has some fish ties. I'd be surprised. Dominique Kirks. I think this was a matter of time, but the commit from Cleveland, he's gone. I'd assume as his star rating continues to climb and climb and climb, I think he ends up at Ohio State. Noah Carter. This would have been a nice win. He's decommitted. I hope we can somehow get him back in the boat. He'll be tough. Keona Willite. Also asking out of his NLI, but look, he's from Tucson and was a Jedfish commit at one time. So who does that leave? Who's that leave here? Voight Tanufi, Zach Durfee, yep. Jacob Lane, who all played, and Maurice Himes. So there's some nucleus there. There's a nucleus.
Are you counting Holtzclaw, Showtime?
And Showtime Holtzclaw, thank you. Couldn't forget that. He played as well. So you've got four there who played minutes.
Right? You don't have any big bodies back. I mean, Tanufi's maybe the
Tanufi's probably the biggest. Yeah, Tanufi's the biggest one. Tanufi's a big body. Yeah. Besides that, you're right. So there we go. But you know, you don't have that. Like, I think we knew coming back this year, we're like, okay, we got Trice and ZTF. If he gets back to that form of this, you know, we'll see. Moving to the inside, here we go. So again, these just absolute warriors. Thule graduated, heading off to the NFL for sure. MJ Ollie. Graduated. He has had some injury issues, but he's going to take a run, I'm sure. And then Fatui Tui Taylor retires. And I saw he wants a GA spot. Fatui Tui Taylor does. But yeah, he's retired. I mean, great Husky. At the moment, nobody in the portal. And so here's who you got. Sebastian Valdez. This one we got to keep. Holy smokes. The senior transfer from Montana State. He needs to be a rock on this team. And I don't know if, you know, does that film that he put together at Montana State transfer out here? I hope so. Jacob Bandis, the redshirt senior, he played minutes. He's going to have to step up. And which one out of the Parker brothers? Or is it newcomer, Elenius Davis, Anthony Jacobs? So far, the signees, Rutama Bulabalava and Omar Khan, those still look solid that they should hold. And interesting, both actually visited Arizona, so they're familiar with fish as well. So not quite as bleak as others, but... You know, look, not quite as bleak all up as the offense, right? But returning starters, Tupatala, Elijah Jackson, and I think you can point to Cam Fab and Carson Bruner as essentially, I'd almost call those guys starters as well, because they played starting roles and absolutely proved that they could be starters. Voight Tanufi and Jacob Bandis were called upon throughout the season as well. So there are some names coming back, but right now, as you mentioned earlier, the coaching situation, we don't know what this coaching tree is going to look like and what the coaching staff is going to look like.
We don't know who the defensive coordinator is.
We don't know who the defensive coordinator is. Yeah. I mean, this is what is like. My goodness. Special teams really quick seem to be solid. Jaden Green, Grady Gross, Jack McAllister seem to be okay. I'm going to get this off the top of my head, but the punting with Jack McAllister has to get better next year. His average has to increase.
Yeah, he's been a little bit of a disappointment. I don't think those guys... You know, there's always demand for those types of guys, right? But I mean, they know they have the job. Doesn't really matter who the coach is. I wouldn't expect a lot of movement there.
Grady's got a highlight reel. you know, as a Husky. I think he stays. So look, a lot of questions there. And so I think you can already start thinking about, look, what I will be interested in when we run this back prior to spring ball, and when we run it again after spring ball, who we're talking about, what this roster looks like. We see some of the pieces who are committed and who are going to stay, and some who are putting their name in the transfer portal and ultimately come back, and the names that we will pick up. But this roster is going to look very, very different next year.
In your first year in the Big Ten. Yeah. And, I just want to emphasize, though, I think we should try to end it on a high note. I mean, let's look back a little bit. Let's just take the last 8 seasons. One of those was COVID 2020, which I think we all agree was a pretty successful season. You were North Division champions that year, right?
That's right.
But you had to forfeit the rest of the season. But 4 head coaches in that time for the Huskies.
Oh,
but
man.
2 trips to the CFP. 69 wins in the 7 years other than 2020.
Wow.
And finished in the top 15 of a major poll 5 times.
Talk about resilient. Just resilient, right?
So, so that's the point I was going to make, though, is the program moves on. We press on, you know? Mm-hmm. And the program is bigger than any one person. It's bigger than any one player or group of players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the commitment that UW, I think, has to football, it may not be what Alabama or Ohio State, you know, the institutional level commitment that they have, but I think we've seen a lot of improvement in that area. I think everybody at the university knows it's kind of, to use a boys in the boat analogy, right? Rowing in the same direction here. We all want a successful football program, and UW's been able to do that with 4, I mean, this is their 4th head coach, so he hasn't coached a game yet, right? But but across different coaches, across, you know, this CFP era, we've been the most, maybe arguably the most successful Pac-12 team during that era. I mean, the arguments for Utah, arguments for Oregon. But I think you look at the whole picture, the future will be bright. Mm-hmm. Washington will get this figured out. And even if Fish isn't the guy, they'll make the right decision. You know, and we will get somebody who's going to want to be a part of this. So I don't think there's any reason to, right now, it looks, you know, there's kind of a lot. The scars are really fresh. The wounds are really fresh. It's hard to really take it all in and, you know, look forward to next year and say, hey, this is going to be a monster year in the Big Ten, right? I mean, we got a long way to go, but there is still a lot to happen. We're going to have spring ball. We're going to have a spring transfer portal. There's going to be other things that will happen. Fish is a great recruiter. I think he's got that reputation. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if there's guys we don't even know about right now that were on his radar in Arizona who are going to commit to us now, or, you know, bringing some of those good players that they had in Arizona, or getting guys to recommit to Washington. So I think there's a long way to go before we know what the final body count of the transfer portal is going to be. But the program will live on and we will survive this.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm excited to see what the roster looks like for next year when all things are said and done. And I do think that some of these names are going to come back and really show that they want to be a part of this and see this thing through. And for the others that find their way to us, we're going to embrace them as well. But hey, in Jed, we trust. I promise I will not make another coach shirt for charity. I've been retired from that business. I still see some of the Jimmy Lake ones out there, and I will offer you a money back guarantee. I will replace that with some other t-shirt at some point. That's public. So,
actually wore chatting. My DBU Jimmy Lake shirt to the game in Tucson a couple of years ago, BT, just so you know.
I think it's
made it to Goodwill by now, though.
I think it has. And I've seen a few of them out in the wild. But for every one of those, I see 10 of the Mario Bailey shirts, and it just puts a smile on my face. So, Husky fans, we're going to be back. Our next episode, we're going to be talking about our awards show for the year. Okay. The dog potties are going to come out. And we're going to talk about the 2023 season, because as we talked about, one of the most important things for us is that with this, some of the disappointment with the coaching change, we are not going to let this tarnish one of the greatest seasons ever in Husky football. They're just not going to allow it. We're not going to allow that to happen. And we're going to do that by reliving some of those great moments when we will be back next time on the Dog Pod. Go Dogs.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington. Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.